Welcome back. Today we're dialing in one of the most addictive engines in jungle and drum and bass, that Apache-style ride groove. You know the feeling, fast, shuffly, relentless TSS-TSS motion that makes the whole track lean forward. This is an intermediate lesson in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it with SOC devices. The mission is pretty specific. Build a two-bar ride loop that has real groove and accent logic, then distort it hard enough to feel modern, but controlled enough that it still sits cleanly with breaks, bass, and sub. And then we're going to arrange it like a track, not like a loop. Before we touch any distortion, let's set the session up to behave like real DNB. Set your tempo somewhere between 170 and 175 BPM. I like 174 as a default. Set your grid to 16ths and leave triplets off for now. Create a MIDI track and name it Ride Rack. If you want, add an audio track called Break for later layering and set up two return tracks, a short tight reverb and a short delay. We won't drown anything. This is more about air than ambience. Now, sample choice. This matters more than people want to admit. You have two main paths. Option A is a simple one-shot ride or open hat. Drop it into a drum rack on C1. You want something bright, but not too long. If it's a huge washy cymbal, distortion will turn it into a constant sheet of hiss. Option B is more authentic. Grab an Apache-style break, slice it in simpler, slice mode, or drop the slices into drum rack. Find a hatish, ride-ish slice, something that already has that old-school bite, and map it to a pad. If there's too much low-mid gong in there, don't panic, we'll clean it up. Alright, let's program the groove. Create a two-bar MIDI clip on ride rack. First pass, place hits on every single 16th note. All of them. This is the core of the relentless engine feel. But a flat line of identical hits is not a groove, it's a sewing machine. So now we add accent logic. Keep it simple at first. Accents on the quarter note anchors. Beat 1, beat 2, beat 3, beat 4 each bar. So in Ableton's clip view, those are the 1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 positions in bar 1, and the same in bar 2. Then add a couple of extra pushes. A classic move is to accent the E of beat 2 and the A of beat 4. Don't treat that as law, treat it as a starting point. We're designing forward motion. Now velocity shaping, because this is where the groove actually lives. Set your bass hits somewhere around 45 to 70. Your accents should pop up around 90 to 115. Then add one or two ghosts per bar, really quiet, like 25 to 40. Those ghosts should feel like little imperfections, like a break being re-triggered, not like extra loud notes. If you do nothing else in this lesson, do this part. Dynamic contrast beats fancy plugins every time. Next, swing, but jungle swing, not house swing. Open the groove pool. Try MPC 16 swing around 54 to 58. Apply it to your clip, and don't crank it. Set timing somewhere around 20 to 40%. Add a little random, like 2 to 6%, just for breath. Keep groove velocity influence low, around 0 to 10%, because we already designed our velocities on purpose. We don't want the groove template undoing our accent logic. Now, extra coach note here. Micro timing is often more jungle than global swing. After you apply swing, manually nudge just a few steps. Try pulling step 3 and step 11 slightly earlier, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, for urgency. Then push step 7 and step 15 slightly later, again 1 to 3 milliseconds, for that tiny drag. Super small moves. If you hear it as a mistake, you went too far. If you feel it as attitude, you nailed it. Cool. Now we prep the sample so distortion doesn't smear everything into a wash. Open the ride pad in drum rack. In simpler, set it to one shot. Then go to the amp envelope. Keep attack basically instant. 0 to 1 millisecond. Set decay around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Modern DNB usually wants shorter. Jungle can handle slightly longer, but remember, distortion exaggerates length. Sustain at 0. Release around 20 to 60 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks. If the ride feels too bright or too glass, try pitching it down a couple semitones. Something like minus 2 to minus 5 can instantly make it feel darker and more serious. And if your sample has that cymbal gong in the low mids, don't try to solve it by turning it down. Solve it with filtering and envelope control. Now we build the distortion chain. This is the fun part, but we're going to do it like mix engineers. Control first, chaos second, then control again. Put the processing on the ride rack track, not inside the pad, so it affects the full pattern consistently. First device, EQ8, high pass it somewhere around 250 to 450 Hz, with a steep slope. Rides do not need low end. Then listen for harshness between 3 and 6 kHz. If it's poking your ear, dip it by 2 to 5 dB with a relatively narrow Q. If after distortion it gets dull, you can add a gentle shelf at 10 to 12 kHz, plus 1 to 3 dB, but only if you actually need it. Don't boost highs just because you can. Second device, saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around 3 to 8 dB, soft clip on. And please do this. Level match. Turn the output down so the bypass and enabled volume are roughly the same. Otherwise, you'll think louder equals better and you'll chase loudness instead of tone. Third device, roar. This is your main character. Start simple. Pikachu or warm style. Drive around 10 to 25%. Keep the tone slightly dark, pull back brightness. Then set the mix around 30 to 60%. If it gets fizzy, don't instantly grab more EQ and start hacking. First reduce roar mix or use filtering before it, or darken the tone. Fizz is usually a gain staging and bandwidth problem, not a needs more distortion problem. Fourth device. Drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch. Barely 0 to 10%. Boom should be off. We don't want invented low end on rides. Use damp as your harshness control. If the ride starts shredding your ears, damp is often the quickest fix. Fifth device. Auto filter. This is for movement and arrangement. Set it to high pass or band pass. Dart the frequency somewhere between 500 Hz and 1.5 kHz. Resonance around 0.8 to 1.4. Later, we'll automate this like a DJ riding the EQ. Sixth device. Utility. This is where you manage stereo. Width around 80 to 120%, but be careful. Distorted highs can turn facey fast. And here's another coach note. Check mono early. Drop a utility at the very end of the chain, and temporarily set it to mono just to audition. If your ride evaporates in mono, you're relying on stereo tricks instead of actual tone. Reuse width, or move widening later in the chain, after you've controlled harshness. Optional but really helpful while designing. Lock your ceiling. Throw a temporary limiter or a glue compressor with soft clip at the end just so peaks don't jump around while you tweak distortion. You're trying to judge vibe, not volume spikes. You can remove it later or keep it very gentle. Now let's make it sit in a real mix. Add a compressor on the ride track for sidechaining. Sidechain it from your kick or your main drum bus. Ratio around 2 to 1, attack 5 to 15 milliseconds so transients still speak, release 50 to 120 milliseconds. You're not pumping, you're just tucking. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. For space, use a return reverb. Hybrid reverb is perfect. Choose a small room or short plate. Decay 0.4 to 0.9 seconds. High pass the reverb around 600 Hz to 1 kHz so you're not adding mod. Keep this in tiny, like minus 20 to minus 12 dB. The ride wants air, not a cloud. Now we take our Q-bar loop and turn it into an arrangement that feels like a section of a track. The simplest way to do this is to create three ride states. Duplicate your clip so you have three versions. State 1 is cleanish. This is for intro energy, early drop, or anywhere you want momentum without aggression. Lower roar mix, maybe shorten the simpler decay slightly. State 2 is main drive. This is the body of the drop. Full groove, the chain engaged, and just a little movement on the auto filter. Not a dramatic sweep, more like a slow breathing motion that keeps the ear engaged. State 3 is brutal. This is peak energy, second half, or the moment you want people to react. Push roar mix or drive up. Consider making the filter slightly darker so it feels thick instead of fizzy. And you can even increase a few accent velocities to make the second half feel like it's leaning harder. Now automate like a DJ would. In arrangement U, automate auto filter frequency. Sweep up into the drop, then pull slightly down once the drop hits so it locks in and feels stable. Automate roar mix so it climbs in the last 8 bars before a switch. Automate drum bus damp. Open a little during builds, close a little when bass gets dense. And here's the classic jungle trick that makes everything feel bigger without adding anything. Ride dropouts. Every 8 or 16 bars, mute the ride for half a bar or a full bar. That sudden vacuum creates tension, and when the ride slams back in, it feels like extra momentum. It's one of the cheapest, most effective arrangement moves in this style. For transitions, keep it practical. At the end of every 16 bars, do a quick fill, a 1/8 or 1/16 stutter by duplicating the last hit 2 to 4 times, or pitch down the last hit by about 3 semitones to drag into the next phrase. If you want a more advanced groove variation without changing the pattern, try a 2-lane velocity system. Keep the 16th notes constant, but make odd 16ths slightly louder, like 55 to 75, and even 16ths slightly quieter, like 35 to 55. Then add accents only on the downbeats. The pattern stays the same, but the energy becomes more three-dimensional. Another sneaky trick, the skip step illusion. Every two bars, remove 1/16th, try the last 16th of bar 2. Replace it with a quick flam, like 2/1/32 notes, or a single hit pitch down by 2/7 semitones. That tiny gap makes everything else feel faster. And if you want that old sliced break conversation texture, duplicate the pad to a second drum rack pad. Make pad 1 brighter and shorter, pad 2 darker and slightly longer. Alternate them every other 16th. Suddenly your ride feels like it's evolving, even though it's the same rhythm. Quick sound design upgrade if your distortion is either too weak or too painful. Pre-emphasis and de-emphasis. Put an EQ before distortion, and gently boost 2.5 to 4.5 kHz by 2 to 4 dB. Then after distortion, do a matching cut in the same zone, maybe 2 to 5 dB. What that does is force the distortion to grab the articulation, then you smooth the final tone. Bite without pain. If harsh resonances keep popping out, instead of carving giant static EQ holes, try multiband dynamics after distortion. Solo the high band briefly to find the ice pick range, then apply mild downward compression on highs, around 2 to 1, just a little gain reduction. This keeps the ride consistent without killing life. Now, common mistakes to avoid as you do all this.